Well, folks, after more than 25 years of doing this show, that's the first time we've used opera music as our bumper lead-in, and you will understand why shortly. Our guest is the newest analyst for the Pac-12 Network, a quarterback on the legendary 1996 Arizona State team. You can follow him on Twitter using the handle at Gus Farwell. Welcome in the balconist, Gus Farwell. Gus, great having you on. How's life treating you these days?
Man, I mean, things are fantastic. I mean, to know that I was responsible for you, you know, having Nessun Dorma as your lead in music for the first time in 25 years, to have a little opera in there. I've always said, you know, one of my goals in life is to kind of be the gateway drug to opera for people. And so I think I've succeeded a little bit in that. But yeah, man, life is good. Life is good. You know, here we are coming into week two. We've got things to talk about that have actually happened and not just off the field stuff. So it's an exciting time.
You know, I want to get to mid-March 2020 when the pandemic was upon us and you were living in Barcelona. Emotions were high. You were part of a crowd cheering on the brave medical workers. And I know some people know the story, not all. You mentioned the song, Puccini's Nessun Dorma. So I know folks saw the viral video your daughter posted. But Gus, if you would take it from there, from your wife's encouragement to what happened next.
Yeah, so you know, it was just such a strange thing. It was a really tough time. Nobody really knew what was going on. I mean, remember how just in those early days, you know, how tough it really was, and Spain was shut down before the United States was, and we went under a very difficult lockdown. My daughters didn't step outside of our building for 45 straight days. Wow. It was intense. You know, my wife got told off by the police for walking our dog for being more than a block away from our house. It was intense. It wasn't like here where you could go outside and exercise and things like that. Like, you were not permitted outside other than to go to the store. So it was a tough time, and then it just kind of became this thing. And yeah, from there, just kind of taking it from there, I went out and, you know, my wife's like, why don't you sing something for everybody? And I'm saying, I don't know. You know, I don't want it to be about me or this, that, and the other. And she just said, no, listen, this isn't about you. This is about them. You got to do this for them. They need, like, people need something right now. And so I went out and did that, and the video went viral. But then it just became a daily thing where, so I sang for 65 straight days, you know, through all types of weather. There were several days underneath an umbrella out there. And, you know, even where there was only like 15 people out on their balconies because it was raining, I have a special place in my heart for those people. But, you know, it became a thing, and I just couldn't believe how much it just kind of got followed, like, around the world. I had people writing to me from South America. I remember there's a sweet dentist from Siberia, people, you know, in Eastern Asia. It was pretty amazing just how it kind of snowballed into this thing that really was well beyond what I could have ever imagined it to be. And, you know, really for me, it was just about singing for my neighbors, and then the video thing. And by the end of it, it was probably the most emotional moment in my life, just the connection on the final day. We knew it was going to be the final day. Again, 65 straight days. I don't know if I've done much of anything for 65 straight days. I mean, like, that, it was, you know, I sang everything from Mozart to Meatloaf. You know, it was a daily challenge just coming up with things to sing. And then on the last day, it just was so incredible. I mean, way too many people showed up. The police shut it down by the end. It was kind of a rock star moment for me. It's like, not everybody gets shut down for singing opera off their balcony by the police. I was proud. It's a proud moment for sure.
Wow. From Puccini to Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. You got to love it. So uplifting. Well done, by the way. So now
Thanks
I want to hit
much.
Rewind again, because you know, the Sun Devils have been to two Rose Bowls, the 86 team with Jeff Van Rapphorst, that quarterback, and the near national title team with Jake Plummer and Pat Tillman, of course, on that team. You were the backup quarterback. What kind of, I guess, emotions or memories come to mind when you think about what was absolutely a magical season?
It was such a special time. I feel so fortunate to just have been a part of that team, just to be lucky enough to be there. And we haven't been back to the Rose Bowl since. You know, that's a point of contention. But, you know, it's really just about the guys. We got together last year, last November. We had the 25th anniversary of the team. And it's really difficult to describe the camaraderie and the brotherhood that exists between that group of players. We really do just kind of love each other. Like, it's really difficult to describe. I always say it's, when I'm around those guys, I just feel the sort of safety, you know, not that I feel threatened at any other time, but it's difficult to put into words. And what I love, too, is that when we get together, it's just all laughs all the time talking about, and it's always talk about stuff that happened off the field. You know, all the great memories that we had as friends. We rarely, if ever, talk about actually what we did on the field. And I think that's what makes that group so special.
Yeah, we've had Snake on the show. He's a terrific guy. He and I actually ended up talking about his early days, his parents taking him to Grateful Dead shows, and then we talked about football.
His parents are amazing. Marilyn, yeah, it's his mom, unbelievable, and his brothers as well, just a great, great family.
Talking opera, Rose Bowls, and more with Gus Farwell of the Pac-12 Network. All right, I guess... how does one go from a balcony in Barcelona to sitting alongside our friends Ashley Adamson and Yogi Roth in the Pac-12 studio? I'd imagine that's another interesting story.
Yeah, you know, that one just kind of, it was interesting. I didn't realize that the Pac-12 network really started following what was going on out there. Ashley reached out to me, and I did an interview with her online. And, you know, we just kind of connected, and the next thing you knew, we were talking a little bit more about it. And she kind of popped this seed in my head about, you know, what about television? And, you know, and it just kind of rolled around in my head. And I think I kind of chuckled when she brought it up. You know, I'm like, well, I don't know how that would work. Here I am in Barcelona, and this is during the pandemic, you know, and everything else. And then it was something that I'd considered doing for a long time. I obviously have been in performance and entertainment. You know, I was a performance major whilst playing football at Arizona State, much to my coach's chagrin, as I'd have to leave practice 10 minutes early to go to my Shakespearean rehearsals in the evening. my coaches loved that, awesome. By the way, as you can imagine. So now looking back, I think it might have been always there in me. And then I don't know if you remember, they did a spot in the Pac-12 network as well, kind of, you know, and it was an uncertain time for them. They didn't know that, you know, all production shut down and nobody's really knew what was going on. And they did a commercial spot about, you know, let's weather the storm and come through it and so we can all get back together. And then they featured my video in the middle of it. And I didn't even know they were doing it. All of a sudden, my cousin wrote me a message and said, hey, man, I just saw you on the Pac-12 network. I'm like, what are you talking about? And so it was cool. It was something I think that they were all following and texting about. And it just kind of came a thing. And then I reached out to them, and they sort of reached out to me, and kind of simultaneously, and then here we are. And I got to tell you, you know, as I think anybody would feel, just to be in a position where I get to have a job where I get to just read and think about and talk about college football on a daily and weekly basis. I'm in hog heaven right now, I'll tell you that.
So you're telling me Bruce Snyder was not all about you going from throwing out patterns to practicing for King Lear?
Yeah, and actually, well guessed there. The production was actually King Lear.
Oh, really?
So there you go.
You gotta love it. Talking many things with Gus Farwell. All right, I guess we got to get some football in here. Obviously, in Eugene, the build-up to the Georgia game, 9 months in the making. I kind of likened it to that nightmare you have where you show up for your SATs late in your underwear. When you guys were previewing this, I guess, what was your read on Oregon's chance against Georgia and your read on the very bleak performance?
You know, I think I was probably right in the camp with most Oregon fans, quite frankly. I was very optimistic. You know, Oregon obviously has a very dear place in my heart. My brother being a four-year starter back in the 80s at linebacker, Joe Farwell.
Sure.
So, you know, I have many fond memories of going up to Austin. We used to leave my game in Los Gatos in Northern California, drive 10 hours through the night up to Austin. And you know, back in the Bill Musgrave days and, you know, guys like Chad Cota and everything. And you know, so I always want Oregon to do well every single year. And so I was very optimistic leading up to it. And I think everyone in the studio, I mean, they were, you know, we're looking at it and going, realistically, do they, you know, Georgia's the defending national champion. Sure, they lost some key players. So you're kind of wondering, okay, where are the question marks? My goodness, they did not look like they had a lot of question marks on that team. You know, I like what Dan Lanning said after the game. You know, they need to work. You know, they need their opponent right now is themselves. It is Oregon. They need to get out there and they need to improve and they need to work on the fundamentals. And, you know, that's always football. You know, no matter what year we're talking, whether it's the 90s up until now, it just comes down to, you know, I think in a way, the tackling, you know, just things like tackling. Like, you can't go out there just thinking that, you know, we're this team, we're this program, so all we have to do is kind of hit the guys and they're going to fall down. It's like, no. These guys are exceptional athletes. On the other side, they're just as big of a program. You got to go, if anything, the other way and go right back to the fundamentals to win that type of a football game. So, it was tough to watch, you know, but I think that it's the beginning of a season, you know, it's week one. Look, I think back to last year's big win against Ohio State. I mean, that was an amazing win. And, but you know, it's like, we always say, right? It's a long season. We'll see how this transpires.
Let's get to your alma mater, obviously, ASU. Their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, transferred to LSU. They go to the portal for Emory Jones of Florida, and the Pac-12 media had them 10th. Granted, Northern Arizona, not a great barometer. You got the defense led again by the middle linebacker, Kyle Soley, a lot of new faces running and catching it. So what's your read on Arizona State's prospects? Well, let's start with this week, because that's a really good Oklahoma State team they're visiting.
Yeah, they got their work cut out for them this weekend. You know, we're going to find out. It's going to be interesting to see what this ASU team can do. I think that they're better than a lot of people give them credit for. I mean, pick 10th preseason poll in the media poll. I think they're a much better football team than that. I still think, I mean, you know, this is a returning leading Pac-12 defense. Yes, we've had a lot of people go out, but we've also had a lot of interesting faces come in. And we also have a lot of talent there that was kind of dormant last year. And I think they're going to be a really tough team to beat, just defensively. But again, with Oklahoma State, my goodness, I mean, they are no joke. You know, they've got a very, very good quarterback in Sanders. He can put up a lot of yards. I think he had over 400 yards passing and 4 touchdowns last week. And granted, it's kind of the same thing, right, against the, you know, with all due respect to the Chippewas, you know, Central Michigan. You know, it's kind of a similar thing to the NAU game. But, look, you know, what they're ranked 11th, I think now. It's going to be a tough test, but I like what I see from Emory Jones in the offense. I think he is a talented quarterback. I think he might very well be an upgrade on Jaden Daniels, but time will tell. I like what I see from him from a poise standpoint. You know, this is a guy who's going through his progressions. He throws a more accurate ball, I believe. And but, you know, big games are big games. That's when you really find out who you really are.
You know, the last thing is I got to get your thoughts as a first-time guest, a player in this league, obviously working for the network. I mean, the story of June 30th, USC and UCLA announced they're leaving for the Big Ten because who doesn't want to see that UCLA-Rutgers rivalry? I always say you can only have one initial reaction when you hear news like that. Do you recall where you were or what went through your head when you heard that, you know, kind of a blockbuster?
Yeah. I was at home in Barcelona and all of a sudden kind of got my text kind of started blowing up and I was shocked and disappointed, to be perfectly frank. Maybe even a little bit angry, but not completely more about one program than the other. One of those two programs I wasn't incredibly shocked by, but the other one, maybe a little bit more disappointed. But, you know, it is what it is. I love the Pac-12, right? I really do. And I always have. You know, my father was a rowing coach at Stanford. When I was 10 years old, I used to go and with the Stanford crew and clean up Stanford Stadium on the Sundays just to raise money for the crew program. My brother played up in Autzen. And then me down in Arizona State. So really from the north to California to the south, I love this conference and I believe in this conference. And, you know, when everybody was very quick to say like, oh, the Pac-12 is over, I didn't believe that. And I still believe that this is one of the best conferences in you know, college football. And from top to bottom, I think it's the best conference. Any game that's on that's in conference play, I want to watch it. You know, I want to see what Arizona can do with Jaden Delora. I want to see what Washington can do with Penix Jr. I love what Jonathan Smith is doing at Oregon State. Sorry, I know that might be a point of contention. I get it. You know, it's a great program. You know, they're doing good things in Utah and Colorado and Cal and Stanford. And like, this is a great league. It's a tough time, whatever, but so be it. You know, I think the Pac-12 will be around for a very long time. You know, it was the Pac-8 before, it's been the Pac-10, and, you know, now the Pac-12, for the longest time, it took me forever to even be able to say Pac-12 rather than Pac-10, you know? And maybe we go back to Pac-10. I don't know. I don't know what the future holds, but all I know is that there is a future, and hopefully it will be a bright one.
Well, for the record, as a transplant, I'm actually a big Oregon State fan. I'm a big supporter of Jonathan Smith. I know Mike Parker and those guys. I'm always a little more anti-Washington. But
enough. I get it.
That's a story for another day. Folks, he's Gus Farwell, opera aficionado, now part of the great team providing A-plus coverage at the Pac-12 Network. Another big weekend is here. His Twitter feed, @GusFarwell. Gus, greatly appreciate you finding some time to share your unique story and insight. Be well. Thanks a million. And of course, as the season moves along, look forward to talking again. But again, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, great. It was really a pleasure talking to you, Steve.
All right. Take it easy.